Psalm 34, 7. It's very clear. It's very clear. God is still healing today for a very simple reason. The Backslider translation tells us this way. God's angels sets up what? Tell your neighbor, you belong in the circle. We belong in the circle. Spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, I'm not negotiating with you. In the name of Jesus, get out. I command you right now, get out and stay out in the name of Jesus. I dissolve and I break any legal right you may think you have upon this body in the name of Jesus. And by the authority invested on the name of Jesus, I command right now, everything that's not good and perfect according to the will of God, be dissolved right now in Jesus' name. You're not allowed to stay, you're not allowed to return, and you're not allowed to send a replacement in the name of Jesus. We also shut every door that was open, that gave any spirit of infirmity legal claim upon this body. We shut it down, Lord. You said, whosoever I remit sins, the sins will be remitted. I remit her sins, if there was any, that caused sickness and disease to come upon her body. I remit it right now in the name of Jesus. And I command her mind and understanding to be open, to understand. If there was anything that she may have done or said that gave sickness legal right upon her body, I pray that you may reveal to her before she goes to bed tonight. So in the name of Jesus, spirit of sickness and disease and the root cause of it, we bind you, we resist you, and we break your neck, we poke your eyes, we break your spine, and we kick you back to the pits of hell where you belong. And say, thank you, Jesus, for my healing. Praise the Lord. Something is happening on your body right now. God is dissolving some clots on your body right now. There are tumors being healed on your body right now. Internal tumors being healed right now. Things that you don't even know. God is doing it right now. Praise God. Amen. For those of you who are lazy to read but like to watch TV, I would like to challenge you for a simple challenge. Turn off your TV and your computer for 7 days. And the amount of time that you devoted for your computer or your television is spent on the Word of God. And if you think that's too much Bible, there are 4 booklets in our bookstore. This man is coming to preach for us within 2 weeks. His name is Walt Strahan. What are the books? How to Receive God's Promise. How many people want to receive God's promise? Turn off your TV and your computer. Read the Word of God and read this little booklet. I tell you, you're not going to be able to put it down. Next one is The Life and the Light of Jesus Heals, Delivers, and Set Free. How to Receive Healing from Any Sickness. Anybody wants to receive healing here? It's a little 48 small pages that when you put in big pages, it's only 12 pages to read. And then, by Jesus' 39 stripes, we were healed. He had another 12 books that is not, we are out of it. This man, Walt Strahan, will be with us. June 11th, 10:30 in the morning, that's a Tuesday. And June the 12th, 7 o'clock in the evening, that's Wednesday night. What I want to challenge you today, are you listening to me?
Yes.
I want to challenge you today. If you want an extra miracle, turn off your TV and your computer for 7 days. Any means of media communication, devote half of that time to the Bible and the other half reading good books like this. Come back in 7 days and tell me what miracle God gave you. Are we together? There is this Mongolian lady in Northern Virginia. They have a strong Mongolian community in Northern Virginia. I think it's Arlington. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. Both cancers. I mean, both breasts. She had already taken radiation, so couldn't do anything anymore, and the thing spread out like wildfire. Her brother is a preacher for the Mongolian church, so they speak Mongolian. And they came one Wednesday night. He brought in a truckload of people. Like 16 people came in two vans. And everybody came forth, we prayed. One of the ladies had lost the custody of her children. I don't know these people, they're all talking Mongolian. I don't speak Mongolian, I speak angels' tongue. And they came, and once we finished, they want us to pray for them, and I pray for several of them, and would come to that lady, I told her, the Lord is showing me some kids. Seems like they are your kids, but they're not with you. Within 7 weeks, you will have these children by your side again. She started crying. So after the commotion was gone, the pastor said her husband took the kids away illegally, and they have a battle going on right now. A week later, she had a court hearing, and the judge ordered her husband to bring the kids back. And on the day that the kids came back was exactly 7 weeks. This is the God that we serve. You know, this is the God of impossible. I never pray for somebody expect they won't be healed. They are healed. You're healed. Your faith kick in, you're going to stay healed. Because we serve a God that cannot lie. This pastor's sister is in the hospital. So before he could continue, he came, pulled me aside, said, my sister's in the hospital. She has breast cancer on both breasts, and the doctor gave her a few days to live. It was a Wednesday night. I said, all right. God's word says that when you and I agree on earth upon anything, God agree in heaven. Amen, amen. So we're going to agree right now that she will not only be healed, but she will give God glory through this whole restoration process. And then the Spirit gave me some scripture. I can't remember what it was. I said, get this scripture for her on your mother language. Let her read that scripture 7 times a day. Thursday morning, he was the first guy in the hospital. And when they got together, he gave her the piece of paper. Said, you were prayed for. God has healed you. Now start reciting that scripture 7 times a day. Friday evening, they sent her back home because the cancer disappeared. Folks, we serve a living God. We serve a God that cannot lie. Are you together with me?
Yes.
This morning, if you were not here, before you leave, you brought your Bibles, right?
Yes.
Let's have some fun. This morning, as we were here, I told you that we started a series called Enforcing the Laws of the Kingdom. And today, we studied about speaking, the power of your words. Amen? Tonight, we're going to show another aspect of enforcing the laws of the kingdom. And it's called meditation. There is a lot of confusion out there about meditation. Amen? Before I talk to you about meditation, I would like to say this. You words are building blocks of which You construct your life. You construct your future. Is anybody still with me here? Yes. Your words are building blocks of which you construct your life and your future. Your word set the cornerstones of your life. And you live within the confines of that boundary you create with your own words. Situations, circumstances, and conditions are all subject to change. But with the support of your words, you can establish them in your life forever. What you're saying? What I'm saying is that the words that you and I speak, they carry weight. I met a fellow one day that said that he thought that he would die poor because everybody in his family died poor. And lo and behold, 5 years later, he died in misery, living from paycheck to paycheck. Did God want for this man coming to church to die like this? Absolutely not. But the words that that man spoke were building blocks. And he surrounded himself around misery. Someone may say, well, this is wishy-washy. It's not. It is not. As we saw this morning, God says, bring words that you may be justified or that you may be acquitted. You may ask, what in the world does this has to do with meditation? I will tell you right now. You know, let me give you a scripture. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Deuteronomy 30, 14. Listen to this. But what? Doesn't it sound like the New Testament? Romans 10 says the same thing. Which means from the get-go, God wants you and I to choose the words that we speak. Why? Because the words that you speak will eventually lead you into doing what you're speaking. Did you know that murders don't become murders overnight? I was reading an article that says people start getting aggravated and they keep saying, one day I'm going to murder this guy. And they say it over the time and over again, and guess what? One day they shoot and they kill. The Bible makes it very clear in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The words that we speak can change circumstances around us. The word that we speak are like building blocks in our lives that can alter circumstances and situations. 5 days ago, I was at home doing some meditation. And then all of a sudden, I was hit by a strong pain. I didn't even entertain the thought to think, what was it? Immediately, you idiot, get out of my body. Keep going. You parked on the wrong place. Get out in the name of Jesus. Within 5 minutes, the pain disappeared. The word is very near you. How near? In your mouth and in your heart. Why should it be in my heart and in my mouth? That you may do it. Now listen to the NLT. It's a little interesting the way that they put it. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. so that you can obey it. I still can't understand what is the connection between this and meditation. I'm coming. Put in the Message Bible in there. Watch this. No. The word is right here and now. As near as the tongue in your mouth. As near as the heart in your chest. Just do it. Isn't that something? Now, the word translated in the King James or the New King James, the word meditate, when translated, it means to murmur, not on the sense of complaining, but to mutter. It actually means to speak to yourself. Now put it back there, brother, on the King James. Listen to this. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou may do it. The Hebrew word translated to meditation or to meditate. You see, there's no meditating here. Give them Joshua 1:8. If the word must be in my mouth, in your mouth, in our hearts, that we may do it, why should I do it? Listen to this. This book of the law shall not depart from where? And you shall? How long? Why? Why should I do that? Tell them, if you want to be successful, meditate on the Word of God. Now, the word meditate means speaking to oneself, muter. Meditation, then, is literally hearing yourself speak. Or hearing yourself speak forth the word of God out of your own mouth. Is anybody with me here? Romans 10:17 says exactly the same thing. Meditation is something important because meditation doesn't mean that you are static here thinking about it. This is the pagan way to interpret meditation. Anybody listen to what I'm saying here? When people talk about transcendental meditation, you are levitating. That's not meditation. Meditation, according to the Word of God, is when you talk to yourself in a loud voice the Word of God. This is why he says, so then, faith comes by hearing what? The Word of God. So when we were told to meditate on the Word of God, God is expecting that you and I will be talking to ourselves the Word of God. Why should I do this? Because when I do this, I will renew my mind. Is that on the scripture? You better believe it is. Listen to Romans 12:2. Give me the New King James. We're too holy tonight. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? You see, preacher, I quite can't make sense of what you're trying to say. When we are commanded to meditate on the Word of God day and night, we are commanded to talk loud to ourselves the Word of God. In the process of doing such, we will become prosperous in all that we do. The second result of doing that, it will also transform our minds. How so? It will help us to think like God. to act like God, and as Deuteronomy say, to do it as God says for us to do. When the word of God is absent of our daily tasks, mankind will always lean towards one side or the other. You will either lean toward God or you will lean toward the world. When I spend time on the word of God, when I talk the word of God to myself, it becomes part of me. And I start leaning more toward the things of God. And that's when the prosperity hits in. On the other way, when there is a void of the word of God, that void is filled up by NBC, CBS, whatever station you watch. And this is when troubles kicks in, because there's a part of you, something inside of you, that call for God all time. And the things that you devote more time to and with eventually becomes your God. So what be not conformed means? It means that we don't have the same lifestyle. It means that we don't have the same thoughts. We don't have the same deeds as unsaved people. We do things differently. I was at the supermarket, somebody was in front of me, and $100 dropped. Everybody's looking, so I put my foot like this. And then I pick up the $100 and I tap the lady in the back, excuse me, I just dropped this. She goes, oh my God, thank you. No, thank Jesus. It ain't me, it's Jesus. If it was the old me, you wouldn't have that money. But it's Jesus in me that makes the difference. Amen. Being transformed means that our lifestyle, our thoughts, our deeds are different from unsaved people. And it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know that the word transformed here is the Greek word metamorphosis? Say metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. What that means? It means to undergo a complete physical change in form, in function, in substance. And get this, in the structure. Did you get that? The word here, transformed, means, is the Greek word metamorphosis, which means there you undergo a complete physical change in form, change in function, and substance, and structure. So I'm asking you right now, are you ready for a change?
Yes.
Amen. Let's then allow the word of God to do that metamorphosis in our lives. Meditation is exercising the brain with the word of God. What do you mean? When we speak, we exercise the physical part as well as the mental part. That's why meditation should always be active. When I meditate many times, I gesture and I articulate. And sometimes I get carried away. As I told you, I'm in the traffic light. And I'm reciting the word of God, and the woman stopped beside me. Are you okay, hon? I'm great. I am great. Sometimes people think he's nuts. That's all right. When you meditate, you're not just programming your mind. You are rebuilding your thought process. So when you do that, put everything into it. Paul was saying that the metamorphosis of your mind is just like a caterpillar. What? Yeah. Caterpillars undergo a complete physical change in form. Isn't that right? Function, substance, and structure. What do you mean? They become butterflies. Isn't that so? Tadpoles become adult frogs. Isn't that true? Limestone is transformed by heat and pressure into marble. Carbon is transformed by heat and pressure into diamonds. Isn't that something? The unrenewed mind is like a carbon, dark and sooty. A lump of coal by itself has little value. A diamond by comparison is valuable, beautiful, and enduring. The process of meditation transforms our minds from the dark thing to a brilliant jewel, reflecting the rainbows of God's light and glory. They say that weightlifters know that they must exercise their muscles until they begin to feel hot and tender. I don't know because I'm not a weightlifter. But I was reading that they say that weightlifters exercise their muscles until they begin to feel hot and tender. When the old tissues have broken down, new and stronger tissues will replace them. If that's true, it is also true with our mind. We need to actively meditate upon the promises until the brain sweats. I'm talking about figuratively, right? And then make it work. Be tough on yourself. Your brain will complain, oh man, too much reading. But you know what? Your brain is not your master. Make your brain obey you and serve you. You are changing the tissues of your brain. And when the new tissues will comes, it will accept the word of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
When Paul was talking to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, listen to what he said. And be renewed in
the spirit.
Now put it this on the Message Bible. Let's see if they do it differently. A life renewed from inside. Let's go back to where we were. I was looking on the Greek New Testament. The word spirit here means temper. You know, like tempered. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Temper, which is the word spirit here, is what the blacksmith does to a piece of steel. He takes a piece of malleable iron, puts it into the forge, and heats it until it is glowing. Is that right? Then he hammers it into proper shape and carefully hits it again. Finally, he quenches the heat by putting the iron into a cool liquid. This process makes soft iron hard and tough. After this, the smith can put a keen edge upon his tool and begin to work effectively. Amen? A sharp, keenly renewed mind is a great tool for a believer. So what you're saying, preacher? Brother, give me Ecclesiastes 10:10. I'm sure it's something here. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. Is that right? But wisdom brings success. question is, what does people use to chop down a tree? A hammer or an axe? The sharper the axe, the less strength is required. Is that right?
Yes.
In the same way, work on tempering our minds for toughness. Sharpen your word skills. I'm talking about the word of God. Become more effective. Jesus had a very keen mind. He was the master of his thoughts. So what you're saying? Learn to master your thoughts. Make your brain work. The benefits are great. How do I do that? By meditating on the word of God. Talking to yourself about the word of God. We were coming here and they just opened a new junk down the street. Psychic reading, blah, 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 blah. Me and my wife turned around. In the name of Jesus, we declare bankrupt. We declare you bankrupt. Before this year is over, you're going to be closed in Jesus' name. And every time we pass in there, we do the same thing. For the last 3-4 days. In the name of Jesus. We come into agreement. And we call the closing of this business into existence. We don't need that junk around here. Folks, by meditating on the word of God, by speaking the word of God, you are feeding yourself. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30, the first scripture I gave you, 30:14. I want to show you something here. Bring it to your attention. But the word is very near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that you may do it, right? What if I tell you that you are what you eat? If you're not sick, if you're normal, where does the food go in? Your mouth. Isn't that right? And then it becomes part of you. What you're saying? Jesus told us in Luke 4:4 something very interesting. Watch this. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. How should we live? In other words, we do need food to live, but it's not only food that is necessary for us to live. We need the word of God to live by on a daily basis. And why do we need that word, preacher? I showed you this morning, John 6:63. Let's read it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So if the word is in our life, it's a spirit, and it is life. You cannot kill the wind. Actually, you cannot even deviate the wind. If the wind is blowing from the south, you can do nothing to make it come from the north. Unless you are a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God in prayer, you still can do that. You may come in to go around your house. You know what I'm talking about? The spirit, wind, gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. So the word of God, when meditated, when murdered, when talked back to ourselves, it will actually give us life. It changes the scenario around us. You heard many times people say, you are what you eat. This is why we ought to be carefully what we're eating, what we're hearing, let's get something straight here. If you eat beef, do you become a cow?
No.
Absolutely not. If you eat cabbage, do you become a vegetable?
No.
Absolutely not. Actually, the beef and the vegetable become part of you. Are you with me here? It becomes part of you. They are metamorphized into you. They are absorbed by your system. Are you with me here? They become your meat. They become your blood. They become your bone. Likewise, when you eat the word of God, it is built into your being. They become part of you. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Word which became flesh, which means the Word can actually become part of you. And it says that the Word dwelt among us, full of grace and glory. Meditation, folks, is like chewing. I'm going to say something a little crazy here. Let's go to, before we do that, Paul told Timothy to rightly divide the word. You remember the scripture, right? In the Old Testament, God distinguished clean beasts from unclean beasts by two criteria. A beast acceptable for food had to have a divided hoof and must chew the cud. The word is hoof, right? H-O-O-F. Say what? Yes. On the Old Testament, God made a distinction. The food that the animals that you can eat, they have to have a divided hoof and they must chew the cud. Pigs have a divided hoof. They have a straight gut. They don't chew the cud. They will eat anything and everything, good or bad. Cows or sheep, on the other hand, are more picky, more discriminating about their diet. They have cloven hooves and they chew the cud. They eat the hay and spit out the sticks. They bring their food back up several times and rechew it thoroughly. Farmers know what I'm talking about. Be careful about what you meditate upon. Let us not be spiritual pigs. Remember, we are sheep. Amen?
Amen.
We are sheep. Let us be careful what we're chewing on. And this is why meditation is so important. One may ask, well, preacher, how do we eat the word? In the same way that you eat your food. I enjoy beef. But I don't eat the cow skin. Those of us who like chicken will eat the chicken, but not the feathers. Isn't that right? So what you're saying? Do not meditate on disaster. Do not meditate on doubts. And this is the problem that I have with television. Every time that I'm somewhere and the TV is on, I get depressed within 5 minutes. Is so much garbage coming through that equipment. I walk away to another place. Don't meditate on the disasters coming around. Feed upon the good word of God. feed upon the promises of God. Listen to what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16. We're going to be careful what we are eating, what we are meditating upon. Jeremiah 15:16 tells us something very important. Let's read it. Your words were found, and I ate them. Which means you can actually eat the word of God. And your word was to me, for I am called by your name, Lord of hosts. When we are meditating, when we are talking the word of God, we have to use our mouth. And talk the word back to yourself. Eat the word of God. Enjoy the word of God, and it will bring sweetness to your life. Somebody again may ask, how do you eat the word of God, preacher? Just like you eat your natural food. It goes into your mouth first. Then you chew it, and eventually it slides into your belly and the rest of you, if your body. It becomes part of you. In other words, we need to learn how to mutter, M-U-T-T-R, mutter, the word continuously. Mutter? When we do that, we will eventually assimilate the whole word throughout our being. So what you're saying? Build the word into the tissues of your brain. Huh? Turn on the heat of the Holy Spirit and make your brain into a pressure cooker. Distill the word into every cell. Let it percolate out through your actions. Let us not be only hearers. Let's be doers of the word of God. Let's get the word of God into our mouth. And once it gets in our mouth, it will go into our hearts. One of the greatest enemies from meditation is called worry. Did y'all know that? Why? Worry is meditation in reverse. Everyone knows how to worry. Our society has taught us how to worry. In other words, worry is simply meditation gone haywire. So how do I overcome this? Don't talk about your problems. Talk about your promises. Mutter them to yourself. Encourage yourself. Is that biblical? Yes, David asked himself, why are you so casting down, my soul? Put your trust in God. Encourage yourself. Don't allow your mind to run wild with you. Paul said that we should bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that right? So what that means? Bridle your tongue and your body. Your mind will obey your mouth. Did you know that? I was reading again today an article that came on the Writer's Digest 1991. I think it was August 1991. They were doing a research on the Midwest. They spoke to 23,000 people that were in a hospital and asked them what they thought their future would be health-wise. 50% of them said that they thought they would die within 5 years. 30% thought that they would be lame. Only 5% thought they would be healed. The 50% that spoke that they thought they would die within 5 years, they all died. The others all became lame. And the 5% that thought they would be healed went back to normal life. And they lived 5 years more than the average person. Isn't that something? So we have to be careful. We have to bring our tongues, our minds, our thought in submission. How do you do that? By meditating the Word of God. The word of faith is in our mouth before it is in our hearts. If you would go 7 days without food, you'd be weak. Isn't that right? Some people can even fast for a day. Isn't that right? The reason that many Christians are weak today is because they go 7 days without spiritual food. They show up in church on Sunday morning, all happy, jumping, flipping upside down, and they give their offering, and once they walk out of their door, see you next Sunday, God. And the word is not present. And if you're not eating, meditating, feeding on the word of God, you're going to be forever weak. This is why meditation is so important. Eat the Word of God. Let it be strong in your life on a daily basis. Most people have 3 warm meals daily. Isn't that right? But only a cold snack on the Word of God once a week. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7. 1:7. You know this verse because I've used this verse so many times. But I want to use it again today. For God has not given you, but... Somebody just told me recently, you know, preacher, I hear you talking about this meditation thing. I mean, I hear you talking about this word thing for reading the Bible and this and that and the other. And it's just like you have a vendetta against television. I said, I do. Why? They make you dumb. No, it does not. Yes, it does. It seared your mind. You just, you know, the Bible says that you have a sound mind. And when that sound mind is filled with the Word of God and you start to speak in the Word of God on a daily basis, it becomes part of you. And it starts opening doors that you never thought it would. So I'm challenging you tonight. Turn off the stinking television, the computer, and even your cell phone if you have to. Because if you turn off your TV and your computer and you check new emails and going on the internet on your cell phone, you're cheating. I cannot do that. Then you have another God, not the God of gods. The thing or the people that you spend more time with becomes the object of your affection. And automatically become your God. When people say, I don't have to do anything. As I told you, I was driving and then I turned on WCBN. The very first thing that came out was, every American over 50 years will one day be sick with hepatitis. Blah, blah, blah. I turned it off right away. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to have no hepatitis. You're nuts. Not cake. Done. I don't have to have a radio subscription. I don't have to have a radio in my car, period. So I got 6 worship CDs, fill up all the changers. So pump it in. Sing it and worship. Huh? Sometimes acting a little weird on traffic. But you know what? I want to fill my head, my lips, my heart, with the Word of God. If you would live with me, you would find me walking in the house sometimes, muttering the Word of God. Just talking to myself. There's nothing wrong with it. When I used to work, I used to do the same thing. He would look at me, don't worry about him, he's nuts. That's all right. The wisdom of God is craziness for the world. Now, if you don't want to meditate, you don't want to meditate in God's word for anything else, if you don't want to close your TV, your computer, and your cell phone if you have to for a week, because the preacher sent for you to do that, do it for one reason. How many of you would like to financially increase your bank account? Are you saying that? I can actually increase my bank account? Put it back over there, brother. Joshua 1:8. If you don't want to listen for the sake of being healthy, if you don't want to listen for the sake of getting closer to God, guess what? You're going to improve your finances if you do it. You know what? Give me this thing in the New Living Translation. Let me see what they say. I like this. Study this book of instruction. Meditate on it. Why? And what happened? Am I seeing here something that nobody's seeing here? Your success and your prosperity is tied up by or to studying the book, meditating on the Word of God. Isn't that something? I wonder what the Message Bible says. Let's read it. And don't, for a minute, let this book of the Revelation be out. Well, now, ponder and meditate on it, making sure. Why? Isn't that something? So if you don't want to hear the preacher, you don't like, you hate when the preacher is telling you, how dare he ask me to turn off my television? How dare he ask me now to turn off my computer? You want to prosper financially? Here's the recipe. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of your mind. Brother Tom, on the back there is some little cards say, Bible is. I left it. Yes, please bring it to me. I want to give you something now. If you absolutely cannot give up your God, whatever that's TV or cell phone, faith come by hearing. Has a Bible app if you have a smartphone. It's free. It doesn't cost you a penny. All you have to do is go to your app store, your Play Store, whatever phone you have, and you type in Bible.is. And you can download the Bible in 700 plus languages. Why would I do that? So you can meditate on the Word of God. And you know what I do many times? I have been through the Bible this year alone 5 times. I go to sleep. Especially when my wife is traveling, I put my phone, if you have volume 1 to 10, I put my phone on 3.5, close to 4. That's the comfortable volume that I can fall asleep, yet I can hear the word. And you will be surprised that throughout the night, while I'm sleeping, I'm hearing the word. And one of these days, something crazy happened. While the word was speaking, I started dreaming as if I was in the scenario where the thing was happening. And it was so cool. You know, what is that? The word is becoming part of me. Are you with me here? So if anything, if you meditate on the word, it will help you to go where you're going. And you will succeed. Amen. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditation is talking to yourself about the very Word of God. Thank you, brother. The doctor tells you, you're sick? No. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Oh, you're denying the sickness? No, I'm not denying the sickness. I'm denying the sickness the right to exist on my body. Because I am the body of Christ. Plain and simple. I am denying the sickness the right to exist in my body because by His stripes I am healed. If you know the Word, you can speak the Word. And it can start working on you. Sometimes I really admire people that have the courage to go through a cold room with air conditioning. I never found an operation room that is 85 degrees. It's always 55, 60. So that's the rehearsal to death. And then you cut yourself from all the way up, and somebody's playing with your organs. It takes a lot of faith. I'll take my shot at Jesus.
Amen.
I will speak the Word. Amen? Yes, Bridget. All right.
One time you said that some center, the speech center in your brain controls what?
Your speech.
I mean, yeah, but you said something related to healing.
Yes. The same part of the brain that controls the healing of your body is the one that controls your speech. So in other words, let's say, for example, this part of the brain here will tell your body when to get healed, how to get healed, and to get healed. That very same part of the brain is the one who controls your speech, that gives you the ability to speak. When we start speaking what the doctor says, our body, the part of the brain that controls our healing, will say, well, you're sick. Because the doctor said, you're sick. Many people said, this is going to get worse. And then within days, they are worse. Why? Because that part of the brain that controls the speech is the same one that sends the signals for the body to get rid of the medicine. I mean, of the sickness. So when I'm speaking the Word of God, the brain tells my body, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Get in line. And as I speak this, my body, through the power invested on the Word of God, Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Thus, when I'm muttering the Word of God, when I'm speaking the Word of God, that part of my brain that causes my mouth to speak the Word of God will activate the fighting cells on my body. And because the word is spoken by Jesus has life in itself, life is injected into me. This young lady called here, she's 81 years old. She came here last year. And she had breast cancer again. True. Both breasts, she had cancer. I said, well, you need to forgive your ex-husband, and you need to forgive your children. What? You need to forgive your ex-husband. You need to forgive your children. I have nothing against them. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Then the Lord revealed what it was. She started crying, and she finally said, Lord, I forgive that punk. I said, imagine if you had something against him, huh? Imagine if you had something against him. And then she forgave because he ran away with blah, 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 blah. And then she forgave her daughter for abandoning church, going out on the world, getting pregnant, and moving back with her. We prayed after she confessed all that, renounced the consequences of that unforgiveness. We prayed, cursed the demon of cancer out of her. She goes home. Within 5 days, she goes to see oncologist. And they ask her, how are you doing? She said, I'm great. Don't have any pain? Nope. And the lumps disappeared. What? They put her under the microscope and made the pictures. Not one single cancer cell. Now watch this. A year went by. Her grandchild is 12 years now, but is the size of a 7-year-old child because she was diagnosed with diabetes. And children's diabetes is the worst. Can you imagine the child being poked off every day to take insulin? This is torture. She said, I want you to pray for my granddaughter so she can get healed. I said, no, your granddaughter has to come. So she handed the phone to the granddaughter. Hi, Pastor, can you pray for me that I can get healed from diabetes? Said, sweetheart, you need to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. How do we do that? So I led her to Christ. She received Jesus. Then I said, before I pray for you, I need to talk to your parents. I knew that daddy was not on the picture. Only my mom is here. Get your mom on the phone. Said, sister, your child is suffering because of a mess that you made in the past. How dare you? I said, I don't. The Holy Spirit is daring right now. So you need to repent because this child was conceived in sin. You need to repent so that the curse can be lifted up from this child's life. You know what to do. She got mad. Mom! Give the mother the phone. I pray for the child. On the day that the child called, his sugar level was 597. I didn't know that. I pray with the child. I led her to pray with me and renounce the curses that came from her parents. And then I hung up in Jesus' name, amen. That night, the mother got her act together, and she asked God forgiveness for abandoning the church and running away with a punk. Got her impregnated and then took off. Next day, grandmother and mama take the child to the doctor because they have to do the insulin. Somehow, the Holy Spirit touched the people who ministered the insulin to check her sugar level. And for their astonishment, when they checked the sugar level, it was 97. They flipped, you know, and it went every day. She would go back for a few more days. I don't know how many days. She went back without insulin. The sugar remained 97. Grandmother called back. Thank you. She said, don't thank me. Thank Jesus. I didn't do anything. She said, since the prayer, no insulin has been administered, and her sugar level remains at 97. Why? Because when we prayed, I said, sugar level, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go down and remain 97 or below. When you are speaking the word of God, it has an effect in our lives. Amen? Stand on your feet. Father God, we pray that you may teach us how to meditate upon your word. Teach us, Father, how to mutter, how to talk to ourselves. Take away the shame of what people will say. And teach us to feast on your word. It may indeed the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.